waiting for one more Senate vote. This morning we're scheduled for a public hearing, possible work session on the report from the Department of Administrative Services relative to the Mill Creek property. Lori Warner is assisting us from the Department of Administrative Services. Lori, I just need a couple of items on the public record, if we could, please. Thank you very much, Lori. Lori, one of the things that we were concerned about was the number of jobs that this development, through the anticipated planning stages, phases 1, 2, and 3, may be able to generate. Would you just visit with us regarding the anticipated jobs?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Lori Warner. I'm the Facilities Division Administrator for Department of Administrative Services. At this point, we're looking at about 2,000 jobs as what would be generated at this site.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And we're still waiting for the OECD to give us a list of shovel-ready sites.
Yes. Mr. Chair, they were to get that to you on Friday. Evidently, they will fax it over this morning.
Okay, thank you. Representative Johnson is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for missing your earlier briefing on this, and you may well have covered it, so forgive me. In reviewing some of the documents with the Chair, the fact that the state is actually in the development business becomes abundantly clear in looking at what the plans are for Mill Creek. Had you given any really serious thought to simply trying to market the property as it is right now and letting the private sector come in and do all of the infrastructure?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think that the state, in terms of this particular piece of property, I think you know the city has a high interest in how this piece of property is developed. And our current statutes require us to offer this first to state agencies, second then to other public entities, and third to the private sector. So basically, the city, in terms of being in the position to be ahead of the private developers, is how the process goes. So that's why we are on this track. The state actually is not the developer. The city is actually in the development role in this arrangement. And we've had this arrangement before with the City of Salem when the Fairview Industrial Park was developed.
And followed, Mr. Chair, again, this is probably a row that you've already hoped. Because I know that there was quite a bit of controversy about whether the site was inside the city's ability to expand urban services and that there were a number of sort of regulatory hurdles that needed to be surmounted. Have all of those been overcome at this juncture?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that will be, the city will have to include this in their urban services area. It is not currently within that area. It's within the urban growth boundary, but not the service area. So services will have to be extended, and there's a number of those kinds of processes that the city will have to go through in order to get this property into industrial property from what it currently is.
Is Salem one of the cities that requires a vote of the people to extend into that urban services district?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, let me have Vicki Hardenwoods come up here and address that because I don't have the expertise.
If I may, Mr. Chair, my name is Vicki Hardenwoods. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Salem, Representative Johnson. The answer to your question is the City of Salem requires a vote of the people to annex property. This property is within the city limits boundary, so there's no vote of the people in order to provide services to the area.
I just had a question relative to the long-term, the phase two and long-term. On the record, it was indicated this may take from 5 to 15 years, but the draft agreement provides that the option goes for a maximum of 5 years. Is there some discussion that it would go out to 15 years, and would the state, is it anticipated that the state would have its $25 million returned early enough on that the state could potentially just go ahead and deed this property in exchange for the $25 million to the City of Salem?
Mr. Chair, the consultant had estimated that it would could possibly take 5 to 15 years. So that's where that range is coming from in terms of the property being fully developed. The draft agreement that you're seeing that the AG's been working on is just that, it's in draft, and we haven't had negotiations with the city nor finalized those in terms of length of time and whether there would be extensions.
I guess, Lori, my concern is this, that if my secretary tells me I've got between 5 and 15 days to do this job, I'm not going to do it in 5 days. As a matter of fact, I won't even be ready in 5 days. My concern is, unless you keep, particularly with regard to property development, unless you keep people's feet to the fire, that it's not going to come to fruition nearly as rapidly as you'd like to see it. We're after 2,000 jobs here, and if in 5 years we have 200 jobs, that still leaves us short by 1,800 people not being back at work that should be.
Mr. Chair, I think what the 5 to 15-year range is reflective of is what the market is. If the market starts picking up and there's a lot of folks wanting to develop in the industrial area, it will be quicker than if that's not the case. And so some of that is a variable that we don't necessarily control the timing on. And I don't know if Vicki might want to speak to how the Fairview Industrial Park went, but it has taken over a period of years to develop, depending on how the market was for demand.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It does take some time for those things to develop out. We have been contacted by a specific potential user of the property who would have up to 900 jobs within about a five-year period. So we're hopeful that we'll see some rapid turnaround. Whether or not we can get 2,000 jobs there in 5 years, that would be a very optimistic estimate to get that many jobs in that short amount of time.
I guess in that regard, the kind of language that you smith into the final agreement, Lori, will be very important to make absolutely certain that the city knows that the state is really sincere and serious about the expansion and development of the jobs there, rather than saying that 5 years. Right now, it's just a five-year flat option agreement that comes between the city and between the state and the agency, being the agency for the development. But my concern is that if we leave that window open for the 15 years, we may not see 200 jobs or 900 jobs within the 5 years. And I think that it's pretty important that we deal on a position of sincerity that we're after the jobs to be created. And I'd love to have 200 jobs in rural Oregon somewhere, but I'll settle for 20 as best I can get them, wherever I can get them, anytime I can get them. But my angst is that in the population centers of the state, it's important to get folks back to work as fast as we possibly could.
Mr. Chair, I think the city is on that track also, though.
Great.
Because they want job development as soon as possible. Also.
Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a question for the development director. Do you keep an inventory of undeveloped industrial lands and also of developed industrial lands that are not currently occupied?
Chair Butler, Senator Devlin, the SEDCOR, which is the Salem Economic Development Corporation, keeps that inventory for us. They are the marketing agent for industrial lands within the city. And they are partners in this project with us.
Can you give us an approximate idea of how many vacant industrial acres that you have and how many currently unoccupied industrial developed parcels you have?
Yes, if I may, I think I would if Larry Glassick could respond to that question. He's more able to do that than I am.
excuse me. Good morning. My name is Larry Glassick. I'm the president of the Salem Economic Development Corporation. Chair Butler and Senator Devlin. I don't have a quick answer off my head because I wasn't expecting that question, but we do maintain a listing of available industrial lands and a listing of available industrial buildings within the greater Salem metro area, that is Marion and the Old Counties. That listing is available on our website through SEDCOR, www.sedcor.com. Now, it's a little hard for me to think about how many of the buildings on our inventory, and there's probably 60 or 70 buildings on there, how many of them are vacant at this time. Some of them have temporary occupancy. I just got one in the other day that the owner wants to sell the building subject to his occupancy through 2006. The available industrial lands have to be classified as to those that have services and those that do not have services, but all of that information is available as part of our inventory. Our inventory goes into significant detail on each building or site, listing its zoning, its size, or in square footage, the amount of square footage in a building that's, that is available. For instance, there might be a multi-use building of 10,000 square feet in which only 2,000 is available. But that information is available. I would be more than happy to run off copies of my inventory for the committee.
Representative Johnson is right. I'm sorry, were you finished? Thank you very much. Representative Johnson, I may just mention that delivered to my office evidently late Friday afternoon from the OECD Economic Development Department is a list of the shovel-ready sites by site, by area within the states, and so we'll need to get this out to all members of the committee. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Glossick, as long as I have the opportunity to ask you this, at this point, how satisfied is CEDCOR with the Salem Economic Development Corporation? Sorry. How satisfied are you with the placement of the DPSST facility actually on the ground, and how satisfied were you with the process that cited that facility?
Wow. Well, being a professional in the industrial development field, I am very protective of any land that is potentially industrial, and so the idea of the DPSST locating this particular site caused myself and our group some anxiety. Process to me, quite frankly, was a little bit flawed because I did not see that a significant amount of input from the community in the larger area in that process. However, also I recognize that the state is also mandated to take care of its agencies in whatever way it sees fit, and apparently this is what happened in this particular case.
Representative Johnson, is that responsive?
I follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
By its placement within this industrial campus, do you think that the value of the property has in the long run been diminished or accelerated?
Well, I don't think, quite frankly, that it's been diminished. Some of the property that the DPSST is taking was within what was a buffer area for the OCI institution itself. I think that if the DPSST goes ahead, then it may enhance to a certain degree the developability of the phase two of the industrial of the Mill Creek property, which of course is adjacent to where DPSST is going because of the necessary services that will have to be provided in that area. So there is some complementary issues there as well.
Mr. Glassick, will that still leave a buffer when it's all done?
Well, I think DPSST serves as the buffer.
As the buffer.
Yeah, because they have the
race cars.
The testing track in there. Sorry about that.
Mr. Chair, my apologies for being late, and also my apologies for not being here last week, and I understand that this came up when I was in Washington, D.C., and I'm still kind of blinking from the change in time of returning home. But just for the record, I have been working with the City of Salem and CEDCOR and with Department of Administrative Services on the Mill Creek properties.
Thank you very much, Senator. We're going to go ahead now and open a work session of the General Government Ways and Means Sub. We are there's a full complement of both the House and the Senate here with all members present and accounted for. With that, the work session is to receive the report on the Mill Creek property from the Department of Administrative Services. You've had an opportunity to review that report. Is there any discussion? Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we accept the report.
The motion has been made that we accept the report. The report does request that we approve a partnership. We don't have the ability to do that, but we can accept the report, and then the Department of Administrative Services can proceed with what they determine to be as important. Further discussions? Representative Johnson?
One last point of clarification. I understand that there are a menu of consultants that may be providing the services, and I didn't know whether or not in your previous discussions on this issue there had been anything entered under the record as to how the Department of Administrative Services was going to select consultants. And maybe the consultant selection has already occurred.
There is a list of three. I think we've heard from Lori about two of those in the discussion.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there is in the packet of information that I sent Representative Butler a listing of the three consultants that have been used thus far working on this property, Leland Group, OTAC, and Norris Bake Simpson, the Realtor Group. And I think the city is really in the position at this point to be contracting for most of the consulting work on phase one, so it's probably to them to respond to that question.
Fine, then with your permission, Mr. Chair, same question to the city.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the city's intention is to, we have OTAC as a consultant of record on with the city, so our intention is to contract with them and then have as subcontractors the other contracts that we need, which would probably include Leland and some of the other contractors that have been working on this in the past in order to make sure that we can get this done quickly and get those jobs going as quickly as we like.
You've heard the motion. Any further discussion? The motion is that we accept the report from the Department of Administrative Services relative to the Mill Creek property. Hearing and seeing no objections, that report is considered received and it will move to the full Ways and Means. Let's see, do you need someone to carry it? Representative or Senator Winters has been an excellent person to carry that. Thank you very much. We will now close the work session on the Mill Creek property report and open a work session on Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597 related to the Capital Planning Commission and the transfer of agency functions. Adrian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and subcommittee members. Your public hearing, you've had two public hearings on the Capital Planning Commission budget for 2003-2005. Last week, the recommendation memorandum referred to Senate Bill 5506, which is originally the Capital Planning Commission budget bill, and House Bill 3597 that does relate to the transfer of agency functions. You also discussed the implementation of the co-chair's budget, which involves a suspension for only the 0305 biennium functions of the Capital Planning Commission. And as part of that suspension, Senate Bill 5506 has in front of you -1 amendment, which substitutes for the original measure language an increase of other funds expenditure limitation for the Commission for the current biennium, 0103, in the amount of $27,123. Those funds would be expended from the agency's current ending balance and would be for current actual expenditures for things like rent and telephones and so forth for the remainder of the biennium, and the unanticipated payments of staff accrued vacation to close the agency down at the end of this biennium and any unanticipated billings that would be received between now and the end of June. In order to implement the co-chair's budget, then the Legislative Fiscal Office would recommend that the subcommittee recommend to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means that Senate Bill 5506 be amended, as I just described, and that the recommendation to the full committee is that the Senate Bill 5506 be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. That is component number one of the package to suspend the agency.
Okay. You've heard the recommendation. of component number one relative to suspension of the agency for the 2003-05 biennial period. Lori, do you represent the Department of Administrative Services with regard to the capital planning? Can we just have you come forward for just a moment? There's some angst, Lori, that the Department of Administrative Services will work with the agencies, and I want to express that for the record, that you folks will work with the agencies and attempt to work with the City of Salem. I have no ability to direct the City of Salem to continue to work with you. However, that during this 2003-05 period, that planning and development by the state of any state agency projects, it's the expectation of this subcommittee that the Department of Administrative Services with the state agencies will attempt to continue to work with the City of Salem to engage in a cooperative manner the processes that would allow all interested parties, including the citizens, to air their concerns and to resolve their differences, and do that with your office as the as certainly the forum and the mediator in that process. Would you like to respond to that concern?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Capital Planning Commission functions, as you know, are under this proposal being suspended. We currently do bring forth the agencies to the Capital Planning Commission. We've been engaged in review of those projects before they go there. We wouldn't see that being any different. The question, I think, about the citizens' involvement in the public forum, we currently have the Capital Projects Advisory Board that meets, and we have not solidified exactly how we do that, but the anticipation is that that's a possible forum to have that discussion. The city also has public forums where these projects are heard before they're approved, currently under existence. And if you wanted to explore those, Vicki Hardenwood probably could address questions on the city side. But for us, that's how we would envision handling that.
And I'd love to have Vicki be able to tell us that she could speak and bind the agency as the planner. My angst is that we, for this budget purpose, for the 2003-05, that the Department of Administrative Services will act as the facilitator to make sure that the agencies continue and that there be the continued forum for you folks to act as mediator or facilitator for the public to be able to come forward and air any concerns with the pending with any of the pending capital projects. You say you do have a capital project advisory board, which we had discussed when we went through the Department of Administrative Services budget. So those are some concerns that I had to make sure that you folks continue to act as that facilitator with the city and with the citizens.
Mr. Chair, yes, I have discussed that with the chair of the Capital Projects Advisory Board, and he is aware that will be on their agenda in the interim if this action is taken, basically, and was supportive of doing that as a forum.
And that any agencies would be advised to that.
Yes, the agencies come there currently with the projects.
Right.
That board has to look at them first from a budget perspective.
Good. Okay. Any further questions with regard to the first phase of the recommendation? Thank you very much, Lori. We'll just go ahead and hear the second recommendation.
Okay. Mr. Chair, House Bill 3597 is the bill then that would implement the suspension itself by indicating to the commission for only the 2003-05 biennium that it is not responsible to meet or to accept any expenditure reimbursements, payments, and so forth, the per diem and expenses that they may currently receive. It also transfers to the Department of Administrative Services a couple of responsibilities, one involving the executive residence account and any project activity that may come up during the biennium around the executive residence. And then it also continuously appropriates to the Department of Administrative Services for the biennium the Capital Planning Commission account to make any payments that may arise unbeknownst to anyone, whether if there are billings that come up on or after July 1 of this year, and also the payment of unemployment claims. We also then, in House Bill 3597, provide Department of Administrative Services with another funds expenditure limitation of $21,630 for the payment of for those purposes. And again, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation would be that you recommend to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means that House Bill 3597 be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation, and you do have the final draft amendments in your packet today, and they are the dash A5s. It also has attached the section-by-section description of what the bill, the amendments do.
Okay, are there questions relative to the second portion of the recommendation related to House Bill 3597 from the Department of Administration or from Legislative Fiscal Office?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin is recognized.
I'm just trying to clarify that the $27,123.5506 and the $21,630 in 3597, are they separate appropriations?
Mr. Chair and Senator Devlin, yes, they are. The and I do have a breakout of where those costs are. The 5506 additional expenditure limitation is for expenses for the current biennium only that are now known that would otherwise have exceeded the expenditure limitation given the agency by the 2001 session and as later adopted, approved by the legislature through emergency board and special session actions. It also includes for 0103 an allowance for vacation payout to staff. The 3597 expenditure limitation to Department of Administrative Services is for unemployment insurance payments, since the state is essentially self-insured on that, and a capacity for any unanticipated billings that may come after July 1. Anything that's unexpended by DAS in the 0305 biennium would remain in the account. And if the executive branch brings forward a budget for the commission for 0507, that account fund at that point would serve as a beginning balance.
Is that responsive, Representative? Thank you very much. You've heard the second half of the recommendation from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Are there further questions relative to the second half? We're going to stand at ease for just a moment while we get a quorum. Track these and shields off. we'll come back on the record out of recess. We've heard now the recommendation for Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597 relative to the suspension of the Capital Planning Commission and related to the transfer of the functions to the Department of Administrative Services. Are there any objections to receiving and the report and taking the action as recommended by the Legislative Fiscal Office?
On 5506.
5506. Senator?
On that one line.
Let's take them one at a time. Senator? 5506?
No objection.
No objection. Hearing and seeing no objection on Senate Bill 5506, we will order that motion, order that recommendation. House Bill 3597 relating to the transfer of the agency functions. Any objection?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
This is not an objection. It's a courtesy to the co-chair. I will be voting yes. My vote may be different. I want you to be aware of that also.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing no opposition and recognizing a courtesy yes vote by Senator Devlin, we will order the actions recommended on House Bill 3597 as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none, we will go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597 relative to the Capital Planning Commission. And we'll go ahead and carry that. We'll start on the I'll get back with you on that.
Okay.
We'll start on the resolution now. We will go ahead then and open a work session on House Bill 5065 relating to the State Financial Administration and the resolution for continuing state government.
Continuing state
appropriation.
What's the period? It's continuing resolution. Where's appropriate?
And you each should have received then the regional shovel ready list of the governor's sites anticipating a tremendous growth in industrial activity.
Yes. Can I be reflective as an I vote? I didn't see Schrader sneak in.
We'll suspend the rules. Representative Patridge requested we suspend the rules to allow him to be a I vote on the action taken with regard to Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597, so we show a full complement of both House and Senate. With that, Representative Patridge, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay. Representative Patridge votes aye on Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597.
Thank you.
And the record will reflect that he has voted.
I apologize.
We'll come back to House Bill 5.
Schrader's awfully sneaky, so I've got to be watching.
5065, opening a work session. Ken Rocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 5065 is before you. This is a blank appropriation bill, and it is being replaced with the dash two amendments. This is the continuing resolution that provides continuing authority for state agencies without adopted budgets by July 1st of this year to continue operations at the same level that they received in the last quarter of the this current biennium. In this, this is standard language that's used. The actual implementation of this measure is completed by the Department of Administrative Services through adoption of rule. There is one exception, one change this year, and that is you can see in Section 2, Subsection 2, that provides an additional authority for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for a payment that they have to make early in July because of the shift that was occurred in one of the special sessions. This this measure is in effect until in Section 6 it says Section 5 says that it's repealed on July 31st, so it takes effect for 1 month.
Takes it. Takes effect July 1st, 2003.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it takes effect July 1st and is repealed on July 31st. And one other item of note is that when DAS makes their rule to implement this measure, They are allowed to take into consideration pending legislation. So anything that gets through at least subcommittee can be considered when they adopt the rule.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question of Mr. Rocco. For those agencies, for example, the Arts Commission, that received no appropriation in the eighth quarter, how does this... how do these amendments treat that sort of situation?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, it would, if they receive no appropriation in the eighth quarter, they would receive no amount in the continuing resolution to spend. However, that does not preclude the Assembly from providing an appropriation to them at some point after July 1st, or between now and July 1st, for that matter.
Representative Johnson, is that responsive?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Further questions of Senator Devlin? Further questions of Mr. Rocco?
Yeah. Mr. Rocco, on Section 5, which is the sunset, basically, for this, if we have to do this again, is that all we have to amend?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes, it'll fade. Replace you, boy.
With that, are there any objections to the recommendation made by Legislative Fiscal Office relative to the Dash 2 amendments of House Bill 5065? Hearing and seeing none, we will order the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 5065. And with regard to House Bill 5065 as amended, Representative Patridge now moves that we move House Bill 5065 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? That's amended with the Dash 2 amendments. And seeing no objections, so ordered. To the full. Senator Schrader, would you like to take that to the full and explain to
sure.
us how important it is that we get our work done during the...
I was going to vote against it, actually, Mr. Chair, but out of courtesy, I'll certainly carry it and vote for it.
Thank you very much. With that, we will close general government.